Debbie Marcoux, the Mortgage Mom. Are you a veteran and you don't own a home? Or are you a veteran and you do? Did you know that you have special VA financing that is available to you? I can tell you, bar none, that it is the best financing available. If you have a VA loan right now and you've got some debt, it's a great time for us to take a look and see if we could pull out some money to pay those debts off. The VA will let you go up to 100% in your financing. If you don't own a home today, VA is going to let you go to 100% in your financing. Zero down payment. Give me a call. Let's talk, you and me. 844-935-3634 or go to the website mortgagemomradio.com and click on contact us.
Debbie Marcoux is licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act, California NMLS ID 237926. Also licensed in Texas and Tennessee, 184373, Arizona 094-1504, and Nevada 57237.
Ask the credit cowboy about your credit needs.
Hi, y'all. Steve Altoni and the Credit Cowboy from Credit Loss Solutions. Do you have questions about your credit and how it may be preventing you from purchasing your dream home? Ask the Credit Cowboy. I offer a free consultation where we'll go over where your credit currently is and how we can help you improve your credit so you can get into your dream home today. Call the Credit Cowboy at 818-932-9531.
Ask the Credit Cowboy.
Do you own your home? Have you considered what could happen to your home if something happened to you and your family had to go through the dreaded probate process? Hello, I am the estate planning mom and my name is Krista Hermance. I am an estate planning attorney at Hermance Law. If you own your home and something happened to you, depending on how title is held, your family may have to go through probate court. Probate in California can take an average of 12 months to 2 years to complete. It is very expensive and public. A will, while it states how you want your stuff distributed, doesn't actually avoid probate. It just guarantees it. If you want to avoid probate, a trust might be your best option, and we can help you figure that out. We have offices in Ventura, Westlake Village, Santa Clarita, and work with clients virtually throughout California. For information, text WILL to 474747. Again, text WILL to 474747.
This attorney advertising is intended for general information only and not intended to be legal advice, nor does it create an attorney-client relationship. Attorneys at Hermance Law are licensed to practice law in California only. You should seek advice from a legal professional licensed in your state. Hermance Law is located in Ventura, California, and can be reached at 805-518-9633.
All right, well, welcome to Mortgage Mom Radio. I'm Debbie Marcoux, and I've got Heidi here with me, as always, and we've got a special guest. His name is Andre, and we are going to have Andre talk to us all about insurance. He is our insurance agent. We have so many things going on right now. We've had all of these fires. They're still burning. They keep cropping up all over the state of California, and really something that you guys should definitely tune into, so don't go away. We're going to talk all about insurance, your home, what you should be insuring, when an alarm should come on in your head that it is time to reach out to your insurance agent and, you know, talk about your coverages and do you have enough. So this is going to be a very, very important episode. Lots of education. That is what we do here at Mortgage Mom Radio. We are bringing education to you, making sure that all of our homeowners and our future homeowners are all absolutely 100% covered and making the right decisions. We don't want anybody to end up in any kind of a disaster and not have the coverage or the insurance that they need. We don't want anybody getting into the wrong loan. We don't want anybody to start a loan and then have problems because maybe they didn't understand guidelines. So we talk about a lot of different things here on Mortgage Mom Radio. And like I said, today we're going to talk with Andre. So actually, I'm going to let Heidi kind of take over from here because she's actually good friends with Andre. They go way, way back in time. And let's get to know him a little bit. So Heidi, so give us a good introduction of, a good introduction here of Andre. Say good morning, Andre.
Good morning.
All right. Good morning, everyone. So we brought Andre in. I have known Andre since I was probably about 12. So we won't say how long that's been because we don't need to date myself that far.
She's old. She's dating.
I am very old.
Consider yourself stamped.
Yes. So Andre has been a good friend of mine for many years, and Andre owns a insurance company. So we decided we would connect with him because he has gotten many of our clients some wonderful quotes, been able to help them through understanding their insurance policies, what they need, what they don't need, and be able to help them get the right coverage at the right cost. Andre and I have been friends forever. He's a great guy, very trustworthy. I grew up at his mom's house. We're hanging out with his brother. So he's a very good, trustworthy guy that you can count on and have a great conversation just like you do with us. You can trust him. He's going to hold your hand through it. He can look at your policy and he can let you know if you've got great coverage or maybe if you need something else. So, Andre.
Yeah, but I want to know some. I want you to give us some good scoop on Heidi that we didn't know.
Oh, goodness. Should I, Heidi? What do you think?
Okay. Maybe a little, but not too much.
Well, all I know is that we had a lot of fun. We were blessed to have a lot of friends and to be friends this many years later. I don't know how many that is because we're not dating ourselves.
All right. So, Andre, what's your last name?
My last name is Mendez. So I'm Andre Mendez. I'm with Faculty Insurance Services. We are out of Los Angeles. And
do you speak Spanish?
I speak pretty good Spanish, but my team members all happen to speak Spanish as well. So
very good, because we do have a lot of clients that do call that are just more comfortable speaking Spanish. So that's something that is fantastic.
We can accommodate.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. All right.
Yeah, we're in LA. It's probably more important these days to speak Spanish than it is English.
Probably. But it sounds like you're pretty good at the Spanglish. So that's what we need, right?
Fake it till you make it.
There you go. Love it. So what are some of the alarm bells that should go off in somebody's head when they're thinking, you know, maybe it's time to call my insurance agent and, you know, ask them if I've got the coverage that I need?
Yeah, well, recently with the fires, very tragic, right? We've had a lot of property loss and even life loss. So it's no laughing matter, right? So we want to thank all those involved in helping fight these fires. But when it comes to insurance, we're finding there has been a lot of property loss in the past few years, and we're finding that people are underinsured. There's been a lot of litigation going around. Because the consumer feels like they, you know, are being cheated. So insurance agents have been educated or reminded that coverage is the most important thing, right? Coverage over price, and that we want to make sure that we don't put our clients in a situation of being underinsured. So it's really important to not underestimate or be conservative on your dwelling coverage, right? You don't want to go and have a total loss and then not have enough to rebuild and have to come out of pocket when you were living under that false assumption or false expectation that you'd be.
What's the best way for them to make sure that they are fully covered and they've got everything they need if they had a total loss?
Yes. So you want to have a conversation with your insurance agent. You want to request the replacement cost estimator that they use to value your replacement costs. You want to go over that. There's a few different kinds of materials used in the replacement cost. So you got to select, is it builder grade? Is it semi-custom? Is it custom? Is it design? So you kind of want to look into what it is that they're using, right? And determine for yourself if that is enough for you.
Now, let me ask you a question. I can tell you that if I had a total loss at my house, and my house was built in the 80s, early 80s, and I've personally done a lot of remodeling and renovation to mine to bring it up to code, but I can tell you that there's still a lot of things that haven't been done. If I wanted to over insure so that I could rebuild it exactly the way that I wanted, is that an option? Like, you know, you're saying that there's this calculator, the
replacement cost. Right.
And, you know, like you're saying, you're going to choose whether it's builder grade or if it's, you know, semi-custom or custom. Can I choose custom even if I'm not?
Well, insurance is meant to get you back to where you were before the loss. So, you know, if it's a total loss and there's no evidence of what was there, you might get away with it. But you just want to keep up with what your updates have been on your home, basically. You know, the insurance carrier is going to require a minimum that they'll allow you to insure it for. And then it's up to you to get that extra that you might have put into your house out of your insurance.
And the reason that I ask that is that, you know, that if you were going to rebuild your home from scratch, you know, and the home that you're in right now has, you know, tile floors, but you're going to want to put in, you know, wood, or it's got, you know, tile countertops, and you know you're going to want to put in granite. You know, those are the things that obviously when you're rebuilding something, that's what's going through your head. Like, let's get this house the way we wanted it. We're already in the middle of the rebuild. So that was the reason that I ask that, not looking to try to take advantage of insurance or, you know, but you no, just find yourself in that position. All of a sudden your home is destroyed and you're like, okay, well now I'm going to upgrade my bathroom. Well, I'd really like to have that, you know, single bathtub with the little feet, and I want a separate shower. And, you know, you didn't have those things before. So is it possible, is I guess what I'm asking, not trying to fraud or, you know, the insurance company, but.
Understood. Yeah. So basically you want to make sure if you do anything to your house that you check in with your insurance agent, have a conversation, and then, you know, make the decision if you're going to increase the value of the replacement cost estimate or not. Most of the times when people purchase a policy, unfortunately, they lean towards price over coverage, right? Especially when people are purchasing a home for the first time, they're laying out their life savings so that they can get into the property. Insurance is unfortunately the last thing that they want to spend money on. And so they go conservative.
Right.
When they should be thinking about big picture, what ifs, unforeseens that could really, you know, being underinsured is a big issue.
It is. And so explain a little bit too, because, you know, obviously if there's a total loss, you're going to lose a lot of your personal items as well. I mean, you're going to lose everything. So, you know, how exactly does it work when you've lost your furniture or you've lost your, you know, pictures and all of the little knickknacks that you've created and, you know, over time, and all of your clothing? You know, how exactly does that part get? How does the insurance company know what you had, to know what to replace and how much to give you?
Yeah, good question. So that's considered personal property, right? So your personal property is basically everything that's not attached to the house. That would include like your furniture, your clothing, your dishware, everything else that you've acquired or accumulated throughout the years, right? That is protected under a normal homeowner's personal property. And there's two types of coverage that are available on the market today. You have the actual cash value, and then you have the replacement cost value. So you want to make sure that your policy has the actual cash value, or does not have the actual cash value. I'm sorry, actual cash value takes into account depreciation of the item, where replacement cost will just basically be its market value to get you another 50-inch screen TV, and that's what we're going to get you.
Now, how does insurance company know what you had in your home?
So unless there's documentation, they won't really know. So, you know, the best thing to do is run through your house with a video camera and kind of take note of all the valuables in your house, right? Just so if there is a loss, you know, possession, it was in your possession, it was in your home, it's time stamped, and that's usually good enough for them. Things that are often not fully covered because the consumer hadn't been informed are valuables, some valuables such as jewelry, furs, coins, cash, electronics have what's called a sublimit within this personal property. And most consumers are probably underinsured in that aspect because they're not aware they need a separate policy or
for those items.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah. So basically every single person out there today, I mean, for the most part, has a smartphone. So if, you know, they are in their home this evening, does it work for them to just pull out their smartphone and take a video of their home, walk through their home and start, here's my 60-inch TV, here's my, you know.
That's probably the easiest way to do it. You know, they used to ask for a log of all your things or receipts and stuff like that, but now with video, it's become pretty easy.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's something I've never even done. So I think that, you know, and Heidi's signaling. She's like,
I definitely have never done it. And, you know, to Andre's point, when my house was robbed probably 7-8 years ago, Andre makes a good point. I had one diamond ring insured separately, and I had a policy to cover all my other jewelry. Unfortunately, it did not cover my other jewelry, and I got covered for $1,000. Let me tell you, it was worth a lot more than $1,000, and I did not get all of my earrings, my rings, my necklaces that I took a total loss on. It was gone, and it was not replaced because I thought it was covered in the personal property of the other jewelry, and it wasn't because I only had a separate policy on the one ring. Yeah. So it was a loss, and it was very sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the worst time to find out you're not covered is when you've
after you've already had the loss. Yeah.
Pour salt on the wound and
Ouch.
Right. Exactly. So, hey, everybody out there listening, you guys want to get a hold of Andre, you are more than welcome to do so. You guys can text me right now. Text the word mom to 474747. All you have to do is wait for me to respond. It'll say, how can I help you? And all you have to do is respond with Andre. And we are going to get you over to him. We'll get you guys connected so that you can talk to him. It sounds like there are a lot of people that are very, very uninsured. Again, if you were a brand new homeowner when you got your policy, you were looking at what was the least expensive monthly payment for you to afford your home. You probably erred on the side of, you know, the lowest coverages, and that may not be enough today. We had talked, you know, about a month and a half ago about Heidi's, you know, issue with the dog. So let's talk a little bit. I know she's throwing her head down, but Andre, let's talk a little bit about dogs, because a lot of us buy a home. And what's the first thing that we do is we go out and we get a pet, whether it's a dog or it's a cat or, you know, iguana or what, you know.
Chihuahua.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk a little bit about animals. And is this something that no matter what the breed, no matter what kind of animal, do we need to be letting our insurance company know? You know, how exactly does that work?
Big topic, yeah. Dogs and dog liability is a big topic amongst insurance companies, right? They want to make sure that they're not in a position of high risk, right? So dogs sometimes can be that that question mark, right? We don't really know what a dog is going to do, whether it be small or large, right? And yeah, so there are exclusions on policies for dog liability. There are limitations of the type of dogs that can be allowed into a household with that particular insurance carrier. So you want to know, one, does your policy have any exclusions or limitations to dogs? What breed might those be? And, have a conversation, because there's an insurance policy is basically a contract of coverage, exclusions, and limitations. And you got to know what you're purchasing, because it is important.
Right. Now, and I know that, you know, a lot of, for example, a lot of people out there have pit bulls and they love them and they're really great. Heidi had one at one point and he was just the sweetest little piece of pie there was. But I know that a lot of times that breed does get a very bad rap, and that's not one that is typically insured with a carrier. So in that situation, let's say that somebody does have an animal that is not, would be an exclusion in the policy. So if something does happen or there is a loss, it doesn't necessarily mean that they can't have their insurance coverage with that company. It just means that something happens, an incident with that animal, that they're not going to be covered. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. But they wouldn't lose their insurance overall, I mean, or they could?
Depends on the carrier. Yeah. Okay. Most carriers would probably say they would rather not even
insure the property
that,
at all.
Be in that predicament.
Okay. Correct. So definitely something that if you have an animal, I have, she is just the sweetest thing in the whole wide world. I have 150-pound Newfoundland. You know, they're known to be the gentle giants of the world. But you know, I've never called my insurance company to let them know that I have her, and you know, she's a giant dog. So, you know, this is all really great.
Yeah,
I mean, we're learning with everyone else listening, you know?
Right. Yeah. It's not top of mind to call your insurance agent ever.
Yeah, no, I'm going to go home. I'm going to start videoing my house. I'm going to call my, you know, I'm going to actually call you and have you look at my policy, because I think I pay way too much with my current carrier. But, you know, I'm going to make sure I've got a Cocker Spaniel that's probably meaner than my 150-pound Newfoundland. You know, but those are things that I never even thought, you know, that I needed to say something about. Another question that I want to ask you that is huge is deductibles. You know, a lot of people, in order to save a little bit on the monthly, you know, or annual cost, will increase their deductibles to a higher deductible. How do you feel about that higher deductible? What is your philosophy on that?
Yeah, I mean, the risk takers take the higher deductible, and those that are adverse to risk go with the lower deductible. So you're responsible for your deductible. Everything after the deductible gets paid by the insurance carrier. And, you know, if you've lived life pretty luckily, then you can bet probably that you're going to continue like that. If you've had a lot of mishaps with your insurance, you know, you might be drawn towards that and you want to carry a lower deductible.
Yeah. So I've always been an advocate of looking at what your household cash flow is and, you know, how much could you afford in the event of a loss to be able to whip out out of pocket, right? So if it's easy for you to say, oh, it's a $1,000 deductible, I can handle the $1,000 that, you know, then, or I can handle the $5,000, or I could only really handle $500 or $250. Is that what you, I mean, am I in the right thought process there?
Yeah. I mean, I always say, you know, if you have a credit card that could cover your deductible, if you really need to save this $150 a year, you know, it's mindset, I guess, where people's priorities are, you know, it's a cup of coffee a day, you know?
Right. No, I know.
So I have a question regarding the deductible. Is if someone was going to pick a higher deductible with a higher dwelling coverage versus having to reduce their dwelling coverage to take that lower deductible, what would you say?
I preach coverage over cost. You know, that's, I'm in the protection business, so I want to give you the best protection I can give you. And the deductible is just your comfort level with being able to come out of pocket. You know, if you've got some reserves and you feel like you're more likely that you're not going to suffer a loss, then you bet on higher deductible.
Okay, so here's my next question. So let's just say, for example, there is a loss and your home has, and regardless of whether it's a total loss or it's a loss to the point that it's inhabitable, you can't stay there. I know that a lot of insurance policies have coverage where they will help you to relocate and go stay and cover rent costs somewhere else while your home is being rebuilt. I want a lot of people out there to understand that that doesn't mean that your mortgage stops. You are still responsible to pay your mortgage payment. It does not go away. You still owe the bank that money. So don't get into that habit. But can you explain how that works? Because I know that it's confusing, and to be totally honest, I'm not even 100% in the understanding of if my home did burn and I had to go stay somewhere, needed a hotel, then I had to rent an apartment, couldn't move back in. How exactly does that work? And is that a separate insurance coverage that is needed on a policy?
Yeah, so most homeowner policies, that's built into the structure of the policy. It is loss of use, and that's exactly what it's for. If you're displaced, you need to find a property with similar attributes so you can fit your family in there, 2-bedroom, 3-bath, whatever the case might be. Some people, you know, in times of disaster, those homes are not available and they're forced to go into a hotel or something. But that's basically any expenses for living costs caused by being displaced.
So would they, I'm assuming, so I would have to pay for those in advance and then send those to the insurance company to get reimbursed? And then is there like a daily limit of how much can be covered? What if it's going to take my home 6 months to be rebuilt? You know, am I going to be covered for that whole 6 months? Again, is that another increase to the policy that things that people should be talking to you about?
Yeah, so each carrier, each policy has a set percentage off of the coverage A, which is the dwelling coverage. So the more dwelling coverage you have, the more loss of use you're going to get, and so forth. And that's similar to personal property. They have their own percentage off of the coverage A dwelling coverage that gives you that limit. So each policy is going to be a little bit different. Initial costs, yes, they're going to be reimbursable. If there's a disaster, the carrier is not going to be there right away to get you through those initial costs. But once you get set up, you have a conversation with your adjuster, then they'll probably give you an allowance in advance to help you, you know, with your monthlies. And when you get to the limit of your
policy is when it runs out.
So you got to look at that and say, okay, this is probably going to give me 12, 18, 2 years of
coverage. So, and that's where I was trying to go. Like, is it something that, you know, the policy right now might be able to possibly cover you for, you know, 2 months, but you want to make sure that you would have like up to a year. Is that something that you can increase that piece of the policy separately? Or is it just 100% going to be?
Some carriers allow that and then some don't. Yeah. So some you would have to increase the coverage A limit.
Gotcha. And you're an insurance broker. So you can actually, based on the need of the person, determine which company is going to work best for them and their policy.
Right. Every company has different underwriting guidelines. Some are more lenient than others. Some have an appetite for different things like the dogs and so forth. So Yeah, we basically are non-captive. I do have relationships with farmers agents and State Farm agents, so I can get my clients a good understanding of what the marketplace looks like. And and if it's the best place for them, then I'll hand it over to them and say, please take care of my people.
Sounds like Mortgage Mom Radio. That's what
exactly. It's the perfect fit. You can search out the right fit for the client.
Okay, so I have one last question for you. It's about earthquake insurance, because I've had a lot of people ask me, should I have earthquake insurance? Is it really worth it? I was in senior year of high school when we had our big giant Northridge quake, and a lot of people, my parents didn't have earthquake insurance at the time, which was very difficult. Can you talk to us about insurance, earthquake insurance, and is that policy something that we all should be looking at getting, or is it something that, as a lot of other people have said, it's not worth it, it's a waste of money, you're not going to get anything out of it that you need? We hear all of it all of the time, and honestly, I'm great at loans. I do mortgage for a living. I'm not an insurance agent, so I would love for you to educate me a little bit on that earthquake insurance.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, you're asking me if people should have protection. I say yeah, of course. It's very important to transfer that risk over to an insurance company. It's a financial tool, right? So you're transferring the risk over to a company for a set premium a year. Does that premium adjust once in a while? Yes, it does. However, in the event that something were to happen, you've minimized your exposure, right? So you can go on living. So $5,000 a year, I'm covering my family, my kingdom, my empire from financial destruction. So whenever you ask me coverage, yes, coverage, please, coverage.
Yes, coverage. The more coverage you can have, the better. So anybody does want to reach out to Andre and talk to him about your policy, your coverages, do you have enough? Should you be looking at getting more? Please feel free. You guys can give us a call, 844-935-3634. I will get you put together with Andre. You guys can text us, text the word mom to 474747. All you have to say is Andre. Andre, what's the telephone number? Do you guys have a website? Give us all your contact info.
We are facultyinsurance.com. That's our website. And the phone number is 818-208-3049.
Yep. So if you guys need anything at all, please feel free to reach out to Andre. He really does know what he's doing. He's gotten some great, great quotes for us, for our past clients.
If you do call, please mention that you heard us through the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Let him know the Mortgage Mom Radio is taking care of him. One, I know I said one last question, but I am going to ask you one more. So how big of a savings do people see when they actually bundle insurance? So they've got their cars, they've got their motorcycles, their RVs, their boats. We're on Go Country 105. Everybody's got something, some sort of a toy. We're all cowboys at heart, yeah. Even though we're living in the big city of LA. But how much does that help as far as the discount of the total overall package?
Yeah. So if usually it's about 15% to 25% depending on the carrier. So between carriers, everybody's rate's a little bit different. Everybody's discount's a little bit different. So that's the benefit of coming to a broker, is that we get to look at the landscape as a whole. So.
Okay. And then last question is, if you have your, I know I just keep asking you last question.
Are you sure? Last question?
I'm sure. I think. So let's say that there is a loss, earthquake, fire, flood, whatever that might be. When I say flood, it could be just, pipe breaks and floods your house. But let's just say that you've got some of your toys in your garage and those were to go up in flames. Is your quad covered by your homeowner's insurance, or is your quad covered by your insurance for your toys? How does that?
You should have separate policies for each. Some carriers would, if it's in your garage, they would consider that personal property. But most toys, you want to make sure that you have the liability aspect as well, because if you hurt somebody out there while you're whipping through the dunes, then that's where it's attached.
Yeah. On the policy, so. And you're always going to hurt somebody, probably yourself, when you're whipping through the dunes. Anyway, guys, thank you so much, Andre. Really, this has been very, very helpful, very educational. We cannot urge all of you enough. If you have acquired anything brand new since you bought your home, new animals, new pets, you've improved anything to the property, anything. I mean, you've upgraded your landscape, you've done your kitchen, you've replaced your, you know, a toilet or redid your bathrooms, or you've added a bedroom or bathroom. Anything that you have done, maybe you bought a toy that gets stored in your garage now. Anything at all that could possibly change what is covered and whether or not you have enough coverage, I can't urge you enough to reach out either to your insurance agent or take advantage of Andre. We absolutely love him. He's fantastic, very, very honest and straightforward, which is why we love him here at Mortgage Mom Radio. So again, you guys want to get in touch with him, please feel free to reach out. You can give us a call. You can go to my website, send me an email. You can text me, text the word mom to 474747. And Andre, one more time, what's the telephone number for your office?
818-208-3049.
Awesome. You guys have a good one. We'll be right back.